May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. First of all, let me just say it's good to be back. If you are like me, you've spent part of this week puzzled by violence. After watching nature do so much violence, first by the fires in the West, and then by the hurricanes in Texas and Florida and many of the Caribbean islands, and in the Dominion of Puerto Rico, many of us began to feel emotionally exhausted. Over half of my summer congregation spends its winters in Florida or in Houston. And my former congregation had numbers of people that claimed their roots in Puerto Rico. I know people in all those places, and I have compassion, and I've sent funds through Episcopal Relief and Development to aid them in the way that I could. Many of us have found our own ways to respond as well, I'm quite sure. Then the shootings in Vegas happened. 59 people killed, 550 plus people injured. And I feel even more powerless over a man-created disaster. If you're like me, you wonder what to do. You wonder how we got to be this people. You wonder historically, you wonder morally, what has become of the sanctity of life, the sacredness of human life? Wondering mostly because you want to feel and be safe and to live safely for yourself, for our families, for others who weave our human community. I'm a little tired, to be honest, of our inability to establish a fix, to think creatively, to seek the essential trade-offs that create a better life for the whole. That sits in me as a citizen. It sits in me as a Christian, a person of hope and compassion, and faith. As a Christian, I don't feel we can have the choice just to grow numb, to turn away an eye, or to disinvest in creative thought. We are in this creation together, called to foster God's reign together, to work towards God's vision of peace, a just and honest society together. It has never been perfected, but that does not mean that we yield on making progress. Sometimes when you or when faithful people are feeling a little off kilter, a little off balance in life's choices, we do well to go back to things that are pretty basic. It's good to remember that our journey with God began in choice. The ancients tell that story about a false start, about the consequence of false choice, the story of Adam and Eve, and even of their sons. It's good to remember that our journey with God goes on and that we receive something like the Ten Commandments that set before us the choice that we accept. Simply put, we will worship God only, regularly, fully, weekly, thus allowing God an entryway into my life, into our lives, into the society. And secondarily, we will turn to one another in respect, showing regard for those who have given us life, our parents. We will do no one injury, either by murder, by violating our intimate promises, by taking what is not ours, by lying and bending the truth, by giving in to the desire for what is another's, be it possessions or relationships. To live in this world as God intended is to accept basic limits on our free choice. To build a society based on responsibility and respect for limiting choice. So much of the biblical revelation is a further refining and turning of those choices. What will I limit? For whose welfare will I orchestrate the way of my life? Jesus spends his teaching time helping us fine-tune, and he sums it up thus: you shall love the Lord your God with all your being, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And elsewhere, he goes on to expand the notion of who is our neighbor. Our God-given social contract involves moral reflection, yielding personal limits that aid society's fabric to mirror God's care back into the whole. And this is where our gospel comes in today. Jesus speaks of a vineyard developed and given into others' care. The vineyard he spoke of in the gospel is God's creation, wonderfully made. The tenants he spoke of were Israel, the people of God's self-revelation. And we too are God's tenants, wanting sometimes to be owners now. And that's not bad either, except when we believe ourselves the owners. It is then that we forget that God requires much of us: fruitful, compassionate lives, morally structured. It is then that we overstep our outer sense of station, and we lose sight of God's ownership, priority of place. When we act on coveting our own lives as if they are ours, others' lives as if they are ours, things of essential value as if they are ours, when we act out mostly then of self-interest, overlooking the deeply compassionate call of God, that is when we are likely to lose our way. The parable then goes on to an image of God coming to collect the fruits of a just and compassionate life, sending one messenger after another, all rebuffed, all done in, right down to the son. The image is of God's faithful coming, and the human, deliberately forgetting, is it sin? Is it free choice just run amok? And then Jesus ends the parable and shifts to a question. Now, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? And the religious Pharisees answer from their own moral base: he will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants, and he will give the produce, who will give him the produce of its harvest at the harvest time. And we would expect that Jesus might say, yes, that's exactly right. But he does not. Instead, he says, haven't you read? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous and amazing in our eyes. He's quoting Psalm 118. The stone rejected in that psalm is the inner righteous life that Jesus exemplifies for us. God does not kill or punish or give what is deserved. God sends the Son, gives the depth of love, a life that will be used to forgive all of our missteps. God does not act like us, is not made in our resentful image. God is God and acts like God, Life is sacred. It's a reflection of God. God does not want to destroy it. God wants to receive its gifts. Expected. And then Jesus goes on. Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and will be given to a people that produce the fruits of the kingdom. The compassionate core of God seen in Jesus always judges individuals and societies, whether we like it or not. That stone, this compassionate care, this moral core, breaks us if we forget its primacy. We fall on it. We are measured by it. We either see it reflected in our lives or we see it missed. But do we notice when we have lost our way to compassion? Do we notice? The bottom line is that you and I are measured by how we choose to see and show compassion. Every act of care that aids the victims of a natural disaster, of any life crisis, creates a moment of Christian character or rises from it. And every neglected moment injures that same character. If we are concerned to create a Christian family, a church, a preschool, a prayer group, a social group, the same is true. Are you tending the acts of compassion? And if we believe that we seek here to create and sustain a nation created to some higher good than our own collected egos, then it too will be measured by the employment of principles of compassion. And part of that measure will be what we choose to limit. Surely on that list are wrath and the methods by which we employ it, and greed that rules so much of our national life and agenda, personal gluttony, where we just think it's ours and forget it's a shared resource that we have. In there will be how we deal with weaponry, tools of intended death, what we choose to allow to be, how it may be purchased, employed, used. I think what Jesus wants us to wonder about in today's gospel is this. Is the kingdom taken away, or does it slip away by the neglect of choice, such that we do not notice that we miss it, only to awaken and see that another is given possession of it? And then to wonder, what will I do to have it back? Some people talk about finding God. God is never lost. But sometimes we have drifted, and we need to come back to basic places, like the sanctity of human life. Perhaps each of us will do well to carry in us the last line of today's epistle. Forgetting what lies behind, all the human neglect of compassion, and straining for what lies ahead, a compassionate and forgiven life in Christ, I will press on towards the goal, the prize of his heavenly call, life rooted in Christ Jesus. Amen.